Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. I got it right, Landon.
There you go.
He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. Landon, how are we doing on this 4th of July week?
I'm doing good, Jim. You took the words right out of my mouth. I'm ready to barbecue. I'm ready to sit back with a summer shandy and be by the pool. So hopefully everybody else listening is headed to a similar path for their 4th of July week. We got a Wednesday 4th of July, or excuse me, a Thursday. So it's a little bit more kind of in the middle of the week. It's not fully on a weekend. But, Jim, I'm counting it as the whole week. The whole week is 4th of July for me.
Well, I may not consider the whole week 4th of July, but if you've got a Thursday, that makes that a long weekend, Landon. So any day but Wednesday for the 4th of July just turns it into a long weekend, okay? That's the way you have to approach it.
I appreciate you sharing that old man wisdom with me, Jim.
And I'll let you go with that old man reference. Anyway, our show, Landon and Jim versus the World, is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. They have just an absolutely great inventory of new Honda vehicles, including the 2024 Honda Civic with financing rates as low as 3.9%. They also, of course, have my car in stock, the CRV. I love it, Landon. It's now been a couple months since I bought the vehicle. Fantastic. So if you're looking for a new Honda or if you're looking for a used vehicle, check them out. That's Bobby Rahal Honda, West College Avenue for their showroom or online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. All right, Landon, this has become like my favorite show of the week because we get to talk about pretty much everything or anything in the sports world. And it always amazes me how every single week there was some great stuff to talk about. And one of the things, the biggest golf story of the week, it's not on the PGA Tour. It's our two presidential candidates. Now, they're talking about all the important things in the world, you know, immigration, the economy. But I swear, Landon, the most passionate they got was when they started talking about their golf games.
Jim, I got so hype. As a new golf fan, if anybody follows me on Twitter, I tweet about it kind of frequently, and I follow it very hard now. I watch a lot of the pro golfers have YouTubers. They have Twitters. They're all on social media. So I'm really into the golf universe. So when I heard them start talking about golf, I'm sitting there almost falling asleep at this point. Because they started talking about golf pretty much right at the end. And I'm like, what is going on? Our presidential candidates are debating on their handicap scores. So, and I don't know. And then Biden challenged Trump to a match. So hopefully, I'd love to see that go down. That would be interesting. I've seen a bunch of jokes. There's all jokes all over the place that they should play for the presidential candidacy. See, whoever wins a round of 18 gets to be the leader of the free world. So I don't know if that's the way to go about it, but hey, the way that the game of golf is evolving, maybe that's our new metric of who gets to lead the country. Well, Scotty Scheffler would be our leader then.
Well, and I'm not sure I wouldn't trust him more than the other two.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But you know, here what I thought was interesting too was it wasn't just challenge him to a round of golf; it was one guy challenged the other guy to carry his bag for 18 holes. Yeah. One of them's 78. One of them's 81. I don't know if either one of them ever remembers carrying their bag. Landon, no. You're 22. Do you carry your bag?
No, Jim, I do not. I will strictly do cart only. I walked one day, me and a couple of roommates, and I was just hitting some horrible shots. And it just makes it so much worse when you hit these horrible shots and you have to walk to them instead of drive over to them. So I vowed I will never, ever walk again. I only walked because it was rain. So it was, no carts allowed. I said, you know what? I'm never doing this again. I don't think either of those two guys could ever carry their own two clubs at this point in their life and play a full 18. But it was very entertaining to hear them talk about their handicaps, which I'm sure they both lied about on national television because there's no way they're both shooting that low. I don't believe it. But, yeah. You know,
Well, I was just going to say, that's one of the big discussion points is fact-checking these guys. And the only fact check I'm concerned about is what they were saying about their handicap. My two concerns, number one, yes, I believe they were both lying about their handicap. But Landon, what bothers me is the way they're lying about it. Okay, you and I have been out golfing together. Now, we didn't bet or anything. We didn't compete. But if I were in that situation, if I'm going to lie about my handicap, I'm going to lie the other way. I'm going to do the, oh, no, I'm not very good. I've got an 18 handicap, even if I had a 10 handicap. That's the way I would lie.
I agree, Jim, but I guess when you have Secret Service around you for either of those two guys, they get the – if you kind of whiff a shot, they're all around you, they're guarding, no one can see, you get a second chance, a second opportunity, drop another ball down, or you're up in the woods and you kind of drop a little ball down next to the woods, and I found it! That's the type of golf game those guys are playing. But no, it really was funny that is a topic. A little sad as well, I think, for our democracy that was a topic during the debate. But hey, all in lighthearted fun, you know, Jim? But that does take me, since we're on the topic of golf, and I actually just came across this story this morning that Jeremy Roenick, the NHL great, he started to talk about golf. So I figured this would be appropriate time to bring this up. And he was talking about a time that him and Jordan, back when they were both playing, they went out to play 18. And this was on a day where Jordan, it was the regular season, but Jordan had the Cleveland Cavs that night. And so they play, and Roenick says, you know, I beat him for a couple thousand, and we're all getting ready to leave. And it's probably around noon at this point, and, you know, Jordan's got to play at noon or 1. Jordan's got to play at whatever, 7 p.m. that night. And Jordan goes, no, let's play again. And so they fill up the bag full of ice, Coors Lights, all of it. They get back in. They play another 18. He says they get done around 5, and Jordan goes straight to the stadium. By the way, Jordan loses again, according to Jeremy Roenick. And he basically says, hey, I'm going to call my bookie and tell him I'm putting all the money on Cleveland because I just saw you lose 2 rounds of golf and put down about 20 beers. And then so Jordan responds. He goes, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you that we win by 20 points and that I have more than 40. And I'm like, that son of a gun goes out and scores 52 points and win by 26 after 36 holes of golf and 10 to 15 course lights. So there's your Michael Jordan story of how he competed differently. He said, you know, I can't get it done on the golf course. He lost, sounds like a couple thousand dollars. He was just tens of beers deep. And he said, you know what? I'm the greatest basketball player of all time. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to go drop, you know, 40, 50 points. And sure enough, he did it. So I figured I'd share that Jeremy Roenick story that he had from playing golf with Jordan.
Well, Michael Jordan is famous for those kind of stories, okay? Infamous, if you want to put it that way. And as an old-time guy, in my thinking, Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, all right? A lot of younger people think LeBron James is. It's this kind of story, though, that verifies why Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, Landon. It's this kind of story, how competitive he is. The story I think of with Michael Jordan, if you remember the Dream Team, there are people who say the greatest game they ever saw was a scrimmage among themselves with the Dream Team. And I don't know if you remember this, but Christian Laettner was a college player at that time who they put on the team just to have a single college player there, because traditionally it had always been just college players. So when they went the NBA players, they had the token one college player. Apparently they wouldn't even let him in the game.
Yeah, I believe it 100%. Those guys, him, Chuck, you know, I doubt it. But to be, I did hear this. You brought up Christian Laettner. I have to bring up this fact. Everybody's been talking. I knew we wouldn't go without mentioning Caitlin Clark, but Caitlin Clark, you know, everybody's talking about, hey, she should be picked over some other people. Maybe she's not better than them, but she deserves the bid because of what she represents and, you know, what she's done for the league. Christian Laettner, I don't know if you know this, Jim, for that 92 team, he was chosen technically before Shaquille O'Neal to the team. I just want to put that. I'm just saying. Everybody wants to be up in, you know, they're up in arms about Caitlin Clark not making it. But we had Christian Laettner, who was still in college, and he made the 92 Dream Team before Shaq did. So I have to put that fun fact out there.
It is, but at the time, Duke was, you know, Duke was like the Ohio State and Alabama combined of college basketball. They were it. They were totally it. But as long as we're along the basketball line here, and LeBron James' name came up, interesting. He has, and I'm sure he had just a little bit of a say in this. He's now teammates with his son, Landon.
Yeah, Jim, it's interesting. Everybody, you know, was interested to see if Bronny going to get drafted. And I think that was the only scenario where he gets drafted, if he went to the Lakers, because people have talked about it. His college performance wasn't really up to par with an NBA draft pick. His combine performance, none of that. His measurables, there's nothing that really jumps out. So a lot of people are saying, hey, if this guy's name was John Smith, he wouldn't be anywhere. But I've seen a bunch of arguments on this. I think Pat McAfee had a really good take, if you want to go look that up, and even Stephen A. Smith and all these guys. But they're saying, hey, this is the first time that we have really started to care about nepotism, and we want to go after the guy who basically helped just carry the NBA for 20 years. But we say, hey, you know, you don't get the opportunity to play with your son. And not to mention, is that only cool for LeBron and Bronny? But you can't tell me that every fan around, you know, my age is going to be telling their kids in 20 years, oh, yeah, I got to see, you know, similar to Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. when, you know, I think he actually caught him out at one point or something like that. But like those are cool moments. These are cool things that are happening. So for this to be able to happen is really cool, and they're going to play together. But, you know, there's so much nepotism around all leagues. I mean, you look at, I've seen people posting the Cowboys front office, and it's like Jerry Jones, and then it's like Stephen Jones, and it's like Alyssa Jones or whatever. It's like his whole family is the head of the front office. You know, you got Giannis's brother is on the Bucks, and there's always jokes made about him. He can't even play. He can barely shoot, and he's on the Bucks. So there's a lot of nepotism that goes on around all leagues and everywhere. I mean, hey, that's how guys get into law school. Guys get into school. That's how it works. So to come after LeBron, who's someone who has carried the league, has done everything right, and now trash him and say, hey, the Lakers, you know, this is BS, blah, blah, blah. I think LeBron has done enough. I think we owe it to him to the point where if this is something that he wanted, I think that's why the Lakers said yes. That made the most sense. And you know, there's plenty of role players in the league that aren't going to play in a game. Bronny doesn't really have to play. I'm sure they will get him in. This will help with ticket sales. It will do a lot of good stuff for the Lakers and LeBron and Bronny. So I'm not against it, Jim.
I'm not either. And when we come back after this break, Landon, I'm going to tie Caitlin Clark with the Olympics to Bronny James with the Lakers, okay? I'm going to do that when we come back after this break. So stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galante. This is where Landon and I have the opportunity to give our take on pretty much anything going on in the sports world. Quarter number one, we hit a lot of different things, a lot of different names, presidential politics, Jeremy Renick, Michael Jordan, Christian Laettner, LeBron James. We hit about everything. But I left the quarter number one by saying, you know what? This is there's a relationship I want to make between Caitlin Clark and the Olympic team and Bronny James and the Lakers. Quite simply, Landon, they are both good business decisions. Caitlin Clark being on the Olympic team would draw a lot of eyeballs. And a lot of people are going to want to see Bronny James play with his father. You know, the first time opportunity one of the networks has to broadcast the Lakers game, they're going to do it because they know it's going to draw eyeballs.
Yeah, Jim, I think, and obviously there's no way to know this because we can't compare it, but I can promise you a courtside ticket to this first Lakers game is going to be a lot more expensive because it'll be Bronny's first game with LeBron than if it was just, you know, the opening regular season game for the Lakers. So there is a lot of that. I think we talked about earlier, there's a lot of guys out there that are getting jobs because at their local law firm, because their dad owned it or they know somebody. That's how it works, Jim. That's how the world goes. It is nepotism filled. It is all about who you know. And put that aside, like you said, I think it is better for the Lakers, for the Indiana Fever, for the WNBA to have these people in these type of positions because it generates money. It generates eyeballs. I mean, you and me were just saying, and I think a lot of, if I'm just being honest about it, I think a lot of men that have been watching the WNBA and tuning in to Caitlin Clark and other people, I think you lose a huge chunk of that base for the Olympics. Now, you're still going to get some good viewership just because it is the Olympics, but you don't put Caitlin Clark on there. I'm not turning on the game now. I don't know if you are, Jim. I would probably plan to turn it on if I knew that Caitlin Clark was going to play, but do I really have any interest anymore? Probably not. Same thing with the Lakers. Am I going to tune in to the first Lakers game? Probably. If I hear, you know, maybe Bronny's going to be out there, but I'm sure they would be doing a lot of coverage of Bronny and LeBron pregame, warming up. Everybody's going to want to see all of that. It's eyeballs. It is money at the end of the day, Jim, and that's what it is about. So I think we're going to continue to go that route. And it's just interesting to me that the WNBA decided to say, hey, no, we're not going to go after the money or what helps, you know, the organization the most. We're going to do what's right. And I guess the NBA went the other way. LeBron and J.J. Redick and the boys, they said, forget that. We are going to get as much money and fame and eyeballs as possible.
Well, the only thing I'll disagree with, I don't think the WNBA made a conscious decision to do what's right. I think they were spiteful. I think they were looking to teach Caitlin Clark a lesson. And they came up with the excuse not to put her on the team. And you know what? It was cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're not going to get the same amount of eyeballs. Yes, my interest is not going to be there to watch the women's Olympic team like it would have been if Caitlin Clark was there. It's the same way just watching Iowa play, I would watch it because she was playing, Landon. Mm.
Yeah, and I don't think it definitely is mainly Caitlin Clark. But I remember, like, I tuned into an LSU game early, like, over a year ago when they were just really taking off, when they got Haley Van Lith, and they started kind of create a super team. I tuned into that, too. But it is all about, you know, what type of product you're putting out, and is it entertaining? And I think it's interesting. Caitlin Clark came out the other day, and she's been getting a lot of backlash where a reporter asked her, you know, what – NBA, WNBA greats have came up to you or talked to you or kind of given you some tips. And she basically said, yeah, no one is talking to me. No one's taking me under their wing. Basically just came out and kind of threw everybody under the bus a little bit in a good way. She didn't come out and say, hey, man, no one's talking to me. She said it in a professional media trained way, but it was clear. And now people are kind of coming back and saying, you know, she's just kind of the girl who cried wolf, I guess, and saying that she is, you know, oh, woe is me, I'm not getting XYZ. But I think she's got a good point. I mean, it really is interesting to see someone be that just transformative for a game and for everybody that's in the game to reject that. I mean, I think it's just flat out crazy. I didn't mean, it wasn't really supposed to turn into a Caitlin Clark segment, but it feels like every week, Jim, there's more and more stuff that either she says, someone else does, Angel Reese, you know, knocking her down and then standing over top of her, whatever it may be. But there, I don't know why. I don't really get it. And I wasn't really alive. I mean, I was alive. I was really young. And there wasn't social media for when LeBron came in the league. But I feel like LeBron was a lot more accepted and just embraced by the NBA and all even the guys around the NBA than Caitlin, even close to that the WNBA is taking care of or kind of watching over Caitlin Clark.
So if I could sum up what you said, Landon, you just said all women athletes are jealous, envious, vindictive people.
Jim, well, hold on. I got to add this. I was talking to my mom about this last night, actually. And I said, hey, flat out, I don't mean to get too controversial, but flat out, men have sometimes, I think they have better sometimes friendships than women. Women get a little spicy. There's a lot of arguments. Guys, if you get mad at each other, you might just scrap it out and have a fist fight, and then you shake hands and go have a beer. Normally, the other way, it's kind of talking behind the other person's back and saying names, and then, oh, I didn't say that. So, you know, hey, so I don't know. It's interesting, and I was thinking about this on Twitter that I saw, and it's like, I don't know if the WNBA is ready for the toxicity that is the NBA fans, Jen, because they have made their way over to the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark, and now all the fans are like, oh, you guys are disgusting, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hey, man, this is what you get. This is sports fans 101. They are trolls now. They are disgusting. They say the wildest things. They make the craziest memes of all the players. So it is. You kind of have to adapt a little bit. But, yeah, Jim's trying to get me in trouble again and throw a blanket statement on me. But I do have to make that statement that I did say that to my mom the other day. I feel like sometimes guys' friendships can be a little bit better. And that kind of trickles into, you know, people taking LeBron under their wing or saying, hey, Bron, you know, kind of being supportive of him, and Caitlin Clark not really getting any of that. I you joked about it, but I do think there is that, you know, we all know we're all humans here. Women do normally generally get a little bit more jealous than men. That's how it is in relationships, etc. I'm over here rambling, defending myself now because Jim set me up. He threw it up and I totally took the bait. So now I'm over here rambling, defending myself. But no, Jim's cracking up. He's red. But I don't know, Jim, I really do feel that way. That's how it is.
And I'm not going to let you off the hook. I'm going to let you keep going, Landon. Yeah. But, okay, here's me letting you off the hook. I agree with you. It seems like, guys, with sports especially, we were raised with it. And I think we all have the stories. I know I can tell you over and over again, guys that – You play the game, you get into those shoving mat, this, that, and as soon as the game's over, you go for a beer. And I'll give the real quick, all the way back when I was in high school, my junior year, not quite that long ago, it was in the 70s. I got in a fight with the point guard on the other team. It was hilarious. There were fights all game. Everybody, you know, and they had to be pulled apart. Myself and the point guard on the other team get into it, a little bit of a shoving match. Well, instead of our teammates coming in and fighting with us, it was like the two littlest guys on the court. Each one of us had one of our teammates come over, grab us and pick us up. We were like two little kids, still swinging our fists and our feet, flailing in the air. But the funny part too was the following year, we play the same team again, and warming up before the game, like we both end up like scrambling for a loose ball towards midcourt. And this is before the game, and we run into each other almost and look up like, oh, you're the one that, yeah, I'm the one that you hit last year. We shake hands, how you doing, bud? It was like a fun thing to talk about, you know, that we got into a fight the year before. So that's how men treat it. I don't think women treat that exactly the same, Landon. So
yeah, it was a different time back during the World War II days when you were in high school, Jim.
I throw you under the bus and look what you, and now I'm trying to help you out. And what do?
I had to take advantage of the situation, Jim.
You did. Anyway, let's circle back. Here's the other thing with the LeBron and Bronny now playing on the same team, Landon. Perhaps the greatest sports quote of all time. We all know, like, these NBA players, I mean, they've got, you know, so many different baby mamas, and they've got just so much stuff going on. Somebody put out this quote that LeBron James, he's accusing him of sleeping with one of his teammates' moms, of course, referring to his son and his wife, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
She did. She put that on her story as Savannah James. I saw that on Instagram. She was laughing about it. So, yeah, I think that's it's pretty funny. It's unique. And like I said, I think that's why these are those cool things that happen in the sports world. And it's not even like it is just. This is why I think this is so cool. It's not just some role player son that played in the league for 20 years. You know, Udonis Haslam, who played for 20 years and was barely playing at the end. Let's say his son came in. I don't think that would be as special. We're talking about a guy who is in the debate for being the greatest not only basketball player of all time, but some people would say he is the greatest athlete of all time. Would you not want to watch the greatest athlete of all time play in a game, in a professional game with his son? I think most just sports fans in general, unless you're a complete LeBron hater, the answer to that is yes. I want to see that. That is something that I want to view. I want to spend my money on, get a jersey, whatever it may be. And that's why the Lakers made the decision to go that route. They made a business decision that was going to help them the most. And then it makes LeBron happy, and he's going to stay around for as long as they keep Bronny around. And that basically solidified, you know, I talked about how useless a second round pick really is. They basically just solidified LeBron staying in LA for the rest of his career. There was talks of him maybe eking out elsewhere, looking at other places, spend a second round pick to for sure keep the greatest player of all time till he's done. That's worth it to me, Jim.
Oh, yeah. It is worth it to keep LeBron happy. And you talked about wanting to see arguably the greatest of all time playing with his son. I'll go again, Tiger Woods and golf with his son, Charlie. When they have that, it's one of my favorite tournaments when they play with a family member. It's great. Fans just are drawn to their television for that. And by the way, when you have Tiger and his son and John Daly and his son playing together, it is great TV, Landon. All right, that is it for quarter number two. Lots more to go when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. Our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Great inventory of new Honda vehicles, just like my new Honda CR-V that I purchased there. Why? When I live 90 miles away? Well, guess what? Gave me the best deal, the best buying experience. It was fantastic. And by the way, I love my Honda CR-V. Perhaps soon we'll get Landon into a Honda truck. I know he was eyeballing one of those. If you want to check out their great inventory, West College Avenue, that's where the showroom is. Or if you want to check them out online, just go to BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. You can see all their great inventory. And remember, just a great, great buying experience. All right, Landon, quarter number three. We've been hitting on a lot of different topics today. But let's hit on we're starting to get a couple regular routines, regular things on our show. And one of the things that I love, you've been coming out with your stat of the week. Some of the interesting, obscure that you find out there. And you have a great one for this week. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I'm big on Twitter, and I always see these fun facts that come across my screen. And there's so many people out there on the interwebs that seems like they have no time on their hands to figure out these insane stats, Jim. So I'm not going to be the one to do it, but I will share them after they are posted. I think this one puts in perspective how great Brady was for so long. And the stat line is that if Peyton Manning were to unretire today and go undefeated for four straight seasons, so what is that? I mean, like 18, I guess that's, are we play 18 or 17 games? I think 17-0 for four seasons, he would still have six less losses than Tom Brady his whole career.
Six less losses or wins. Six less wins?
Wins. Excuse me. I completely butchered that. So, yeah, if Tom Brady unretired, won every game for four seasons, he would still have six less wins than Tom Brady's whole career. I think, yeah, butchered that one a little bit, Jim. I appreciate that. I mean, that just puts in perspective how great Brady was for so long. I mean, he was winning 14, 15 games a season before I was even born, Jim.
Well, it's not just he's a great quarterback, but this stats tells you he's a great winner. And that's part of it. And, you know, who does all the credit? Is it Bill Belichick or him? You know, that was the argument that went on a lot. But I think when Brady went to Tampa Bay and won there, that tells you how much Tom Brady is just, he's a winner. He is an absolute winner.
Yeah.
And there may not be any greater compliment for an athlete than that.
Yeah, it kind of had the feel like Brady going to Tampa and winning that Super Bowl had the feeling of Tiger coming back and winning that 2019 Masters. It's just like, okay, this guy, even in his oldest age, is still just built different than everybody else, is a different level of athlete and the greatest of all time. So I think that puts it in perspective. And also, I'm one of the people that I don't have Peyton Manning that high on my all-time quarterback list. We'll have to save that for another show, Jim. Maybe we'll make an all-time great. But he might eke into the top five, maybe. But I've seen some people put Peyton Manning as high as two. I don't know how I feel about that one.
Whoa, how about that? You know, those things, Landon, are always fascinating to me. And we will have to do that, top, you know, quarterbacks. What I wonder, though, is there becomes recency bias. And also the game itself has become so much a passing game compared to what it was years ago. There's no way the old timers can compare to the more current players about being with the prolific numbers, number of completions, number of yards, you know, the sophisticated offenses. But, you know, I'd be curious, and we will have to do that. I'd be curious where guys like Johnny Unitas would stand for you. And do you even know who Johnny Unitas is? Coming from Maryland, you better know who he is.
I absolutely do. I do. I wanted to ask you, like, Joe Montana, was he clear cut? I mean, he was like the greatest thing walking when you were a young lad, Jim.
Yes. Yes, he was. And I think the similarity to Tom Brady was that he was just so calm and cool, always had it under control. He wasn't the biggest guy, so he wasn't going to overwhelm you with a huge arm, but he just had that ability at the end of the game. If you had 2 minutes left and had to go to the length of the field, you wanted Joe Montana there, just the way in the more current times you would want Tom Brady there for that kind of thing. They're just efficient. And like I said, they didn't overwhelm you necessarily with this big arm, but he was accurate and he was clutch. Again, some really good things to be if you're an NFL quarterback.
That brings me to this question, Jim. And I actually just saw this on Twitter the other day. You have 2 minutes, let's say 2:05 on the clock. You're on your own 25-yard line. You're down by four. Which quarterback are you picking for that game-winning drive?
And first of all, and you probably already know this, I am not a Tom Brady fan at all. I don't like Tom Brady. I never rooted for the Patriots. Never, ever.
Ruined my childhood. I'm a Steelers fan.
I would still pick Tom Brady.
Yep. There's no one. I when you think of that, I mean, there's nobody that I would even think to pick over Tom Brady in that type of scenario, Jim. I will say, though, it's still Brady, no doubt. But we are getting to a world where I would think about picking Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying, think about that Bills playoff game. You know, 13 seconds on their own 25-yard line, gets in field goal range. I mean, there is – I think it's still Brady. But as we get older and older into the Mahomes era of him being, you know, the guy around the NFL, there are some talks. He's up there, Jim. And that is another interesting – where does Mahomes sit also on the all-time quarterback list? Obviously, we got to give him some more time to marinate. I think he's got a couple more Super Bowls in him. I'm really excited to see where he kind of ends up comparing him to Brady Montana.
I think that's a good call. I'm not going to be this old man. Well, back in my day when the quarterbacks were real men, Landon. No, because these guys – but you hit it where these guys who have that ability at the end of the game. And I may have mentioned this before somewhere on, you know, Keystone Sports – where I saw this online, Tom Brady's first Super Bowl, and I guess he was a rookie, but game was tied, last minute, they have to go, game is tied, so he just has to get into field goal range, and John Madden was calling the game, And Madden said, you just sit on the ball, go to overtime. You don't risk making a mistake, throwing an interception, something like that, and losing the game. Well, that's not what the Patriots do. They march right down the field. They kick a long field goal. They win. But the most fascinating part to me in that whole thing was Tom Brady did nothing spectacular, nothing. There's no pass that you say, wow, he threaded the needle. Look at the arm strength. Look. No, none of that. He was calm and cool, checked down when he had to, always found the open man. Nothing spectacular. If you would have just seen that drive in the middle of the season somewhere, you would have just shrugged your shoulders. But he did it under the most intense circumstances, calmly, coolly, accurate with his throws, made the right read every single time, and lo and behold, they're Super Bowl winners, Landon. So
yeah,
when you rewatch that, that to me showed what the greatness of Tom Brady.
I agree, and that's what it felt like. It felt like his guys were just always open. He wasn't making these insane throws and pinpointing and Patrick Mahomes type, you know, roll out on the run, throw 60 yards. But it just felt like his guys were always there, were always open. His small white slot wide receivers were just always in the right place, whether it was Amendola, Wes Welker, you know, any of those guys, Julian Edelman, it didn't matter. They were open. But it, no, I remember what you were talking about. And you go look this up if you haven't seen it. But I think there's over a minute left when John Madden says that. And that just kind of shows how much it has changed. Because I can't imagine an announcer saying, oh, just sit on the ball when you have a minute left in the Super Bowl and you're on 25 and it's a tie game. And the announcer goes, just, you know, run the clock out. It's just funny. That shows how transformative the game has become, where that is almost laughable, especially if you have someone like Patrick Mahomes, where forget a minute. If you have 20 seconds with Patrick Mahomes, you are trying to go down and get a field goal, Jim. So it is kind of fun to watch how that game has transformed over time and how people look at it, even someone as great as John Madden.
It really is fascinating. And I will go into the Wayback Machine, Landon, and tell you about probably the most important NFL game was Super Bowl III, and the Jets beat the Colts. And Joe Namath was the quarterback. Well, at this time, it was still the NFL and AFL. And the first two Super Bowls, the Packers of the NFL, they just dominated. It was mismatch. And in that game, the Colts, I think, were like a 17 or 18 point favorite against the Jets.
Oh my God.
And they managed to win. And the final score is like 16-7. Okay. And Joe Namath became a living legend from that game. But if you go back and look at the stats, especially by today's standard, I mean, they put up 16 points. That is it. It was a different game, a different world. And yes, I think, you know, as we got into who's the greatest of all time, who's that quarterback you would want in that last minute or two of a game, you have to understand that the game was different 50 years ago than it is today. And as you pointed out, it's different today than it was just 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah. I like that. I like the Namath name drop. He's called out his win the night before. He said, we're going to win the Super Bowl. And then my favorite Joe Namath moment, if anybody remembers this, I think it was, Jim's already laughing. I think it was like 2012 when he was doing a sideline interview at a Jets game. And this guy must have been, I don't know if it was beers. It probably wasn't beers, though. How drunk he was, it was definitely liquor. He was liquored up, and they decided to bring him on for a sideline reporter interview, and he starts talking about, I want to kiss you. He tells the reporter, oh, you're so beautiful, I want to kiss you. And she looks so uncomfortable. And good thing for Joe Namath that happened back in like 2011 instead of today in 2024, because then he would be canceled.
All right, trivia question for you. Do you remember who that sideline reporter was?
Oh, no, it couldn't have been. No, I don't remember.
I think it was Susie Colbert, wasn't it?
I think you might be. I literally just saw it the other day. That's why I brought it up. I think you might be right.
Yeah, that, you know, it's be careful who you talk to after you've been drinking. That's one of the lessons. And the other side of it is they should have understood what condition he was in and never put him on television. That was unfair to him. All right. That is our final note, Landon. We started this segment with Landon's stat of the week. We're going to start quarter four with Jim's historical moment of the week. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're taking on everything and anything in the sports world. And you know what? Today, Landon, I think we have done that. We have hit on anything and everything. But as promised, we're going to start this segment with Jim's historic moment. You know what? For our regular features here, we got to get one of the recordings, you know, like Landon stat of the week, Jim's historic moment of the week. We're going to have to get that worked
out.
You Landon.
Majored in like computer science or something, didn't you? I think you can do that.
Yes. I'll get that figured out. We'll get that put in next. Well, I'll hopefully have that ready for next week, Landon. But over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Bill Walton's national championship game at UCLA when he hit 21 out of 22. So we talked about the Russian USA basketball game in the 1972 Olympics. Well, Landon, now I am going to go into the way, way back time machine to 1925. Okay. And no, I was not there live.
When you were in elementary school. All right, go ahead. I like how you knew I was going to go for that.
Oh, yeah. Talk about your low-hanging fruit. So, and I got to be – I love baseball, okay? And I love a lot of baseball history. There are some great, great baseball stories. But I got to admit, this is one that I had not heard about until this past week. And it was so fascinating, I really wanted to share it. Turns out in the 1925 World Series, it was the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Washington Senators, okay? This was a different iteration way back of the Washington team. And they were playing in the World Series. And back then, when they had inclement weather, apparently they didn't have a tarp to cover the infield, okay, like they do today. So it was really bad in Pittsburgh. I think it was Forbes Field. The infield was just like a mud pit, wet. How are they going to deal with this? And this actually happened, apparently, game day, with the crowd already coming into the place. They came up with this solution, the grounds crew. They poured gasoline on the infield, Landon, and set it ablaze to dry up the infield. And this was in a World Series.
I don't understand how nothing like got burnt and got, I don't know. When you told me that the other day, I don't even understand the thought process there. And it sounds like it worked out. They ended up playing the game.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very curious. I don't know. like, how does that work? I feel like any grass could get caught on fire. I mean, that's gotta be a major hazard. Imagine doing that nowadays, setting a stadium on fire with thousands and thousands of people in a gym. I think that's a little bit of what you call a fire hazard now. They didn't care much back then. We were pretty much in a world war at the time. So, you know.
Well, if you see some of the pictures of how they did things, you know, over 100 years ago in baseball, with some of the things like for the World Series, they would get such crowds to accommodate them. They would actually, in the outfield, put in some standing areas and rope it off. So fans were like literally standing on the field. So, and And here's another trivia thing for you, Landon, that I bet you were not aware of. There was a time in baseball where they did not bring their baseball glove back into the dugout between innings. They would just take it off and leave it there at their position.
So it was just sitting. Where was it sitting? Just kind of near the dugout, or out? You know where the batter is, or where
on the playing field. Yeah, you're the shortstop. You just toss your glove out there.
Interesting. Okay. Well, they did a lot of things that didn't make sense back then. But like I say, hey, we were in between world wars. At that time, I guess it was the Roaring Twenties. So everybody was having a good time, not too much worry going around. So I don't know, but it was different times, Jim. Like I said, I'm sure it was difficult for you in elementary school back then. But
well,
that was the last one for today, Jim.
It was tough, but if we wanted to follow the game, obviously I was too young to actually go to the game. So we had to turn on this newfangled device called the radio. And we would have to listen to the game on the radio. Well, I go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I truly think about it sometimes. I don't think I've ever actually truly used a radio. Of course, I've listened to the radio in the car, but I don't think I've ever owned my own radio that was not placed in my vehicle, Jim.
Well, there was a time, Landon, that you would actually listen to the radio for music, you know, have the radio in your house. And I will give you another story of, again, I'm going to show how old I am. I don't know why I do this to myself, Landon, but I was a kid and I was sent to bed before the World Series game was over. So I got out something called a transistor radio under my covers, holding the radio up to my ear to listen to the World Series game. And there was this, as the radio announcer described, this phenomenal play that was just made. And I am in bed. I popped out of my bed, Landon, ran downstairs where my father was watching the game on TV. And I'm like, Dad, I know I'm supposed to be in bed, but I heard on this great play. I need to see it. And that's what I did. And that's what got me in trouble, Landon.
I remember. That's funny. I remember back. I used to sneak my Nintendo DS into my bed and I'd be in there playing Pokemon under the sheets and things like that. I guess it's changed a little bit, Jim, how people sneak things as children. But yeah, I do recall that. And then as time went on, I would have my iPod. I remember I'd go down and steal it. We'd always have to leave our iPods downstairs when I was a little kid. And I'd go down and steal it. But you'd have to make sure you got it back. That was the whole trick. You had to get it back before the morning. So if you fall asleep with it in your hand, you're SOL, man. It's over. So there, you always had to find a way to scheme. Always.
You know, that's the thing. When you were kids, no matter what generation, and I remember at one point, as we got a little bit older, one of the really big things, Landon, was we got a TV up in our bedroom. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was a huge deal. Bedroom that I shared with my brother. And we, you know, would want to watch TV. My dad would be out and my mom would say, all right, you could watch TV upstairs, but once you hear the door and you hear your father come in, quick run and turn the TV off. Okay. Now, my dad was a very smart man. He would then walk upstairs. He knew what was going on. He would walk into our bedroom, put his hand onto the TV to see if it was still warm. Nothing got smart past man. Dad Galante.
No. That's a veteran move. I have to throw my brother under the bus. I know we're getting a little off topic here, but real quick, I remember my brother when he snuck out once. And it rained, and my mom came downstairs, and she said, Keaton, why are your shoes wet? That doesn't make any sense why your shoes would be wet. So she found his shoes. They had some wetness on them. It was, you know, 9, 10 a.m. That's how she figured out he snuck out. So that's – I guess I'm looking forward to that as a parent one day to figure out how to catch my kids in lies.
Well, you know what? As you and I are both talking about our families, early on we were talking about Bronny James now playing with LeBron James, okay, on the same team. Mm. Now, I understand football is different, that's your sport, but could you ever imagine playing on the same professional sports team with your father?
No, I couldn't. And I saw some funny memes about, you know, what is he going to say when he wants the ball from LeBron? Pass, Dad. Pass, Dad. And then how does that go over with the rest of the guys? I mean, that's kind of bad. Or you know, so it should be interesting. But like I said, I think it's going to be so fun, and the fans are going to love it so much. There's going to be a ton of Bronny jerseys, and I'd even venture things between, you know, jerseys of LeBron and Bronny both on them, shirts, memorabilia, merchandise, all of it. I think there's a lot to do, and I think that is one of the reasons, like I said, that Lakers spent a pick that they really didn't care much about on Bronny, because it didn't matter that much, and they get a lot out of it, not only all that merchandise and eyeballs and money, but also the fact of, hey, we get to keep LeBron until he's done at this point.
All right, let's get – there was one other topic I wanted to talk to you about, Landon, and let's get to college football at least a little bit, or college sports. And we all know the change in the conferences, what's going on, teams moving. And it at the – whatever the end of the college sports year is for these different conferences when they make the changeover. So July 1st, this week, meant the changeover for a lot of teams. And I saw a reference to this, and I was fascinated by it. Something that we don't think about is making the change from conference to conference. So if you're Oregon or USC or UCLA, where you have Pac-12 labels everywhere in your facilities, on your campus, logo on the basketball court, you need to change every single one of them, Landon.
Yeah, I think it'll take some time. I'm curious of when that process starts pretty much now. But I don't think it'll be too difficult, but I think there are some things that are pretty branded where it's like to erase that or kind of have to replace that is not going to be easy. So I am curious to see how that transition is going to go. But other things like on the field, but I'm sure they have big, you know, metal pieces, things like that are kind of mounted up on the campus. So it's definitely going to take some time to go around. It's like cleaning up a bunch of graffiti all over your campus, essentially.
Well, some of these, I read some of the places, this actually began months ago, where they were doing they had people going through campus and athletic facilities looking for these logos and keeping track of them and making the changeover. One school, they would change over their basketball court like every 3 years, or their volleyball court during winter break. And so one school actually made that change on their basketball court over the winter. But here's the one quick funny one that I saw. TCU has actually been in 5 different conferences since 1995. And they got a statement from someone in their athletic department who just said, we're old hat on that. We learned long ago not to put up too many permanent structures, so we can make the changeover a lot more easily.
Yeah, I guess they're veterans. I can't imagine 5 conferences in what? So, I mean, I guess that's I always say I'm like, the 90s feels like so long ago. I talk about it like I was there. But it's, yeah, what? I mean, 35 years, something like that. And that's something like that, Jim. What were you doing in the 1990s?
It was my understanding that be no math. Unfortunately, Landon, we are out of time. Maybe we'll talk about this more next week. Hopefully you will be back for more Landon and Jim versus the world.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.